Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of Off the Rails with me, Claire. I have an exciting guest today who we will go through loads and loads of questions that I have, because as we've just been saying prior to hitting record, there's many different layers, like an onion, that we've got to peel today. So we'll be doing that very shortly. But before we go into it, if you're enjoying my podcast, please hit like and subscribe. And without further ado, I will introduce today's guest. So, Christopher, welcome to my podcast. Nice to have you with me.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much for having me. It's nice to be here.
No problem. No problem at all. So, yeah, loads to go through.
Let's go.
One quick thing for everybody listening is, I guess I always like to kind of explain who I have in front of me and why I've kind of navigated to you in this example. So I am an ex-student of the University of Central Lancashire, and about a month-ish ago, I think, I seen one of their posts, and it was about your lovely self saying that you're going to be on a documentary competition on the TV, which is with Marks and Spencer's Dress the Nation. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. We've got someone, let's say, on the TV worthy that I would love to speak to more, and hence why you're here today. So that's the connection. That's what drew me to you, let's say. Yeah. So before we get to that part, which is interesting, there's loads of other interesting parts that I kind of did a little bit of research on with regards to you. So first of all, take me back to kind of the younger you and the first entry that you had to fashion, and do you have like a first memory? Take me from that, right? Gosh. To kind of when you started at, you know, studying fashion. Was it always something you had? Was it, you know, a bit of a twist and a turn before you got to uni? Tell me through that, please.
It didn't start in fashion. It was very much a journey to get to fashion. Although I will prefix that by saying I've always had an interest for it and I've always had a love for it. For when I was like a child, and I distinctly remember making little dresses for my sister's dolls and absolutely loving it. Only that's scraps of fabric, really rubbish ones, you know. This is a bit fun. But I started my design, my creative, if you like, actually through interiors. Mm-hmm. And navigated my way through that and found through interiors the love of textiles. And I thought, oh, hang on, like, textiles have such an impact on us in an interior space, you know, from the softness of the texture to the brightness of the print, the colours or what have you. And that kind of thought journey led me down into, oh, well, what would it be like with fashion? And I always had a love of fashion anyway, and I thought, oh, maybe I can just do it myself. So I kind of went back to my roots, if you like, and thought, I'm going to start getting back into making some clothes.
So you always had it, like, and I think that's the thing. I speak to loads of people that, you know, spoken to loads of people like economists going into fashion or law and gone into fashion. I think it's something that is, if it's in you, especially something creative and artistic, it's very hard to shake it off. It's like, it's an expression. So it's a good way, like you've said, and you've explained, it's like the feeling and it was there. So you wanted to explore it. So like interiors, fashion, when did you kind of make the decision to go into it in a way of like studying? Because some people go many different avenues. What made you think, okay, actually I want to go and study this particular area?
I think it was probably a lightning rod in a way. It was a way of focusing what I knew I wanted to do, but use it as an exploration. So with my undergrad doing interiors, I found that I'd started it very like, I'm going to be an interior designer. I love interior design. I love how a space can make us feel. By the end of that course, I was suddenly into textiles. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's not where I thought I'd end up. So going into, and it wasn't necessarily a fashion course at UCLan, it was a surface pattern and textile design. So it literally kind of followed on from my love of textiles, and through exploration I found how much I loved fashion and creating fashion in terms of how it made us feel, the impact it can have on us, how people interact with it, self-expression, identity, all of those kind of things. So going into uni was very much a continuation of an exploration process.
That's cool. I think there's loads of different ways, and I think what's nice about this kind of getting to know you a little bit better, and for anybody listening as well, is that there is no direct route. There's also these kind of like this blue sky vision that everybody is led to believe that that's the way it is. And what I mean by that when I make that statement is there's a lot of pressure on all of us, regardless of age, but there's especially younger people, if the path is, you know, school, college, uni, you must need to know what you're doing. And once you've done that and you've carved out, you know, a decision, you have to stick to it. And like you've just explained, the path isn't always kind of this straight.
No, it's never linear.
You know, and it's fabulous that you're able to sit and say, you know, there's kind of a common red thread that's running through. However, it's kind of, you know, you've not been afraid to, like, you know, move around and find out what's right for you.
Definitely. I think that's kind of an allegory for life, really, is nothing is ever the same twice. Yes. So if you're open to exploration and adaptability, you'll find yourself in the most amazing places, you know. And with the exploration of fashion, I've always loved fashion through self-expression, but following that red thread, as you just said, I can love it on an even deeper level because I can create it. You know, so it really there's no one way. And I think, I can't remember who it was, I've got a terrible memory, but there's an excellent quote, which is, if you know what you want to do, I'm going to butcher this, but if you know what you want to do, if you're determined to be a candle maker, you'll become one, that's your punishment, or something like that. Is if you have that one vision and you stick to it, it's actually a punishment to be so restrictive.
Yeah, not allow yourself to understand what else is out there, isn't it? I guess that's the kind of takeaway from it, is
you can go anywhere, you can do anything.
Yeah. And the beauty is that, in a way, you know, people probably think, God, she's full of shit when I say this, but there's so many like links to things, like, you know, you can, skill sets are adaptable, aren't they? You might think one career choice is a million miles away from another, but in fact, it's probably not, you know, like there is so many synergies and so many things that are transferable, especially when you come from a creative place. I think you're definitely more open-minded.
Yeah, and you can, even in a creative way, you can pull from directions you don't think are creative.
Yeah,
like the corporate life, for example. You can pull from anything.
Yeah, so true. So, take me to kind of like you've left uni.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next between kind of what I want to get to is, take me to when you first start creating your own brand, because I've seen what you do. It's just so quirky. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Take me from leaving uni to creating your brand. What was that process like? Was it something you thought of straight away? Was that equally something that took a little bit of time?
I would say it's a bit of both. So it did take a bit of time, only because the nature of the beast, nothing worth doing will happen quickly. So I knew where I wanted to be. I knew eventually I wanted my own brand. I knew eventually I wanted to kind of create something that people could resonate with on some level. But I'm also slightly realist. Once I left uni, it wasn't long. Left uni, I think it was 2018. Moved back to London as needed. You kind of have to get a job to pay the bills, don't you? So, you know, kind of fell back into that, but never stopped creating. It was very much I'm going to do this, I'm going to play the long game. And then, so I carried on knitting, carried on sewing, exploring. Again, it's like continuing the exploration. I was exploring what I liked, what I didn't like, techniques, upskilling, just kind of trying to build myself into a place where, I'm happy with this now. Now we can go on to the next phase. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
So, and then obviously the pandemic happened, which slowed things down somewhat. But Yeah, so then, kind of through the pandemic, and I was like, no, I'm feel fortunate in a way that I've got these skills that can kind of keep me busy and keep me happy and feed into my need for dopamine and positivity. And then once I left, it was like, okay, I'm good. This is like a reinjection of new motivation, I suppose is the word. It's I'm not one to take things for granted anyway, but something like the pandemic kind of, I can't help but feel, well, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
So
And it put everything into perspective, didn't it? When you
very
didn't
much.
have choices, it was like, okay, what can I control? Because there's a hell of a lot of things being made restricted
Yeah.
for me without my choice. And I think the one might that again sound a bit crazy, but I think the one thing that I take away from the pandemic is that we all experienced it. And it's
Yeah.
very, very seldom in life that you can say everybody experienced the same thing at the
Yeah.
same time. And I think that was very important for us. And then being able to, like your experience, take something, a desire that was always there, and then utilize it to the best way possible and actually then bring it
Yeah.
to life as such. Yeah, it's really cool. So tell me a little bit more about the actual brand. So I've given a little bit of a teaser. It is quirky. I've seen one of your posts yesterday, actually. If I'm not wrong, was it Tweety Pie?
Yeah, there was a couple. So there was one that was a Tweety Pie jumper, and then another one which was Looney Tunes.
Yes, that was it. Yes.
And so my brand's House of Wincot, and that my whole thing is I make fashion that elicits a feeling in someone. So it's something that you, because fashion is power, right? Fashion is power over how we feel about ourselves, how we relate to the world. So why not make our fashion kind of work for us? So my whole thing is I want to make pieces that make people either smile, make them happy. Quirky is a perfect word because it's something that you're never really going to see that much of,
Yeah.
which automatically by nature is going to make you go, oh my God, that's different. And then like you're going to get engaged with it and make you feel like quite positive. So the Tweety Pie and the Looney Tunes was part of a Sustainable Fashion Week collection I did. And they actually were sleeping bags from 1990s that I'd upcycled into, one was a jumper and one was a bomber jacket.
Cool. So where do you source things like that from?
I
Unless you've got this amazing treasure chest of
just yeah, I just pull it out. That's crazy.
like
I just like to scour. I just like to kind of keep, so it's things like Vinted, great source of things
yeah.
like that. eBay, I mean, obviously eBay, but eBay's every now and then you'll get a gem and you're like, oh, grab it while you
Yeah.
can kind of thing. Charity shops. I have a few pieces of fabric that I've been fortunate enough, the friends and other kind of designers have given me. So you kind of utilize what you have rather than trying to sort go for brand new.
Yeah.
And then turn it into something weird.
Something weird and amazing, and it's something that you would never. Yeah, it's evoking, like you say, it's evoking an emotion and a like something like that. It may not mean too much to, a teenager nowadays, but for me, I seen Tweety Pie, I was like, oh my God, I remember that. Like
Exactly, yeah.
it just like, oh, it took me back somewhere, or like Looney Tunes, or there's just something that takes you back to, a happy memory, a fun memory, and to reinvent it in a different way, or wear it in a different way, and you know why you're wearing it, but maybe
Yeah.
the next person walking down the street has no idea, but it means something to you, and that
Exactly.
is the epitome of what fashion should be. It is an
100%.
expression of who you are and,
But also,
the
even on that, like you know why you're wearing it, but the next person will have a very different experience of it. They
creative
or it will invoke something completely fresh into someone else, and that's what I love about it. But with the Looney Tunes, it was fun and it was bright. It was a structure because it was a sleeping bag, but to me I'm like, oh, I love Looney Tunes and it's cool and it's bright, but somebody else is like, oh, that's just cool, that's like streetwear, that's taking me back to a party I went to in the 90s. Do you know what I mean? It's evoke something fresh into someone else.
Completely. And I think, yeah, that makes it fun and keeps it fresh too, doesn't it? It's everybody's, and that's life, isn't it? Everybody's got a different perspective on the same thing, exactly. Which has its pros and cons. Let's leave it at that.
Exactly. I mean, it does, but my view is you will never please everyone, so please yourself.
That is true. That is one true statement that nobody can deny.
Yeah.
So one other thing that I loved, and it was in your bio, and I've got to ask you about it. So there's taro and bourbon and biscuits.
Yeah.
Okay, so are they together, or what are these two things that are obviously really important to you? Tell me about them. I'm dying to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are usually because I'm usually having bourbons when I'm doing taro, but I read taro cards. Okay, so I've been doing it for a very, very long time. I'll give readings to anyone who will want them. I read for myself very often. It's a really, again, it kind of follows the thread of emotion in most things that I do, but it's a very emotive thing. So when you read someone, not only is it, it's a privilege because you're reading someone's private life, right? You're tuning into things that they may not even know that is there at the moment. So that's always a privilege of it, but it's a really fun way of connecting.
Yeah, I can imagine. People.
And it's the stuff that will come out you wouldn't even believe, but they never lie. They always tell you what you need to hear.
Oh, I love it. I'm a true believer. I've had many a tarot cards read about me, and I'm slightly obsessed, I would say, is probably the best way of describing it. Right. So that's another thing that intrigued me. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I actually didn't know that you could read yourself. That's new fun fact for me today.
You can do it in several ways. You can do the three card thing, past, present, future, or you can do the what's today's, what's the word I'm thinking of, like today's hurdle. You do the cards. Yeah, you can do it for anything.
That's cool. And bourbon biscuits goes without saying, just an absolute favorite.
It's the king of the biscuits, you know. Controversial, maybe not everyone will think so, but it's the king of the biscuit. You can't go wrong, and I bloody love them.
Yeah, they're just such an old school. Like, I was thinking just before I come on here, I was like, what is my favorite biscuit? And I think I have two. Do you know that I'm terrible for names of biscuits. So you know, like the pink wafer, and it's just it literally is like three layers of wafers. Those.
Yes.
And the other one, my
family. You can say party rings.
Yeah. No. But they actually, I haven't had them in years. Yeah. No, the other one is actually my family are all Irish, and we always got the biscuits. They're like a little, a biscuit base, and then two layers of marshmallows. Pink marshmallows with I think raspberry jam in the middle, and then coconut. And I just was like, when you talked about it, old school biscuits,
that's really old school. I can't remember the name of them.
They're just called mallows.
I think so.
Someone's probably going to correct me, but I'm sure they are. They're just so good. Like, the thing is, I have no self control. Buy a packet, eat the packet in one night. That's kind of my vibe.
Any time I open a packet of bourbons, gone in 10 minutes. It's just,
I envy people that have like a goodies drawer. I'm like, how's that still there? Hoover my way through that.
I get it. Yeah, self control.
Yeah, completely. Not a strong point of mine, especially when it comes to food. Biscuits and cheese is probably my downfall.
Excellent.
But is it downfall? Is it probably not?
You've got to enjoy life.
Not a bad thing. So the edit, and kind of like, I would say probably one of the last topics that I want to go through with you, which again, another thing that kind of drew me to you and who you are, is something I guess you probably recorded it a while ago, I would say, but something that a lot of people are seeing now is Dress the Nation, which is, you can obviously fill in the blanks if I'm getting it wrong, but it's about having to being able to be a designer, am I right, within Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah, so Dress the Nation is a fashion competition show where they're trying to find the next top fashion designer to come into Marks and Spencer's and, I suppose, invigorate and, you know, do their thing.
Yeah,
It's on ITV, and it's a pretty fun pretty fun show.
Yeah, I'm going to do something really random and run and turn on my light because it looks like I'm having some seance right now.
Yeah, well, there we go. I've got the tarot out. Yeah.
Just bear with me 1 second. I'm still here. I'm going to just jump.
I like that the camera's kind of got a ring of light around that painting as well.
Should have done that from the very start, but here we go. Nothing like a live. Oh, that is way better.
Way better. It adds to the drama. Don't worry about it.
I'm here. Anyway, for anybody that is listening and not looking at the video, it was just getting progressively darker outside and I had no lights on in my living room. So it was some random little pink blob. I'm wearing a pink top for again, anybody not watching. So yeah, it was getting a bit strange. So just popped on the light so you can see me.
At least
so that's better. You know who you're talking to now. Yeah. So so how did it come about? How do you apply for these things? Like, is it something you're approached by? Is it something you apply for? How did it all happen?
Well, I mean, I am limited on talking about the process. They'll coming after me. They will.
I don't want to get in trouble in you.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's one like so. It was put out as a thing. I've got a new show coming out. Generally, I think I saw it on Instagram. I think it was. I can't actually remember. If I'm honest with you, I saw it somewhere, and I thought that could be fun. I've not done something like that before. Why not? You know, give it a go, and then put my application in and ended up on TV.
God, and I know obviously, and I'm not obviously gonna push and poke too much, but how has the experience been? Because it's still running right now, won't talk about that, but how has the experience been for you personally? Did you learn much about yourself? Has it kind of instilled a different level of passion for the industry? Has anything like that changed for you?
The process itself, I'll answer that one first, was so fun.
Right.
The biggest takeaway for me was meeting the guys on the show, because genuinely what you see in terms of like how we get on and how we relate and how like close we are is true. We're still got a group, the group chat's still going strong. We talk every day. The process of doing it was really, really fun. In terms of what I've taken away from it or what I learned from it, it's amazing how much insight to what you can do under pressure you get when you're tested.
Yeah.
Because the timing you see on the TV show is real. Like, we had 4 hours to do the task. When they say go, you have to go. So I'm a calm person, but that's really the bread and butter of testing you, isn't it? So I realized that even when I'm pushed, my center of calm withholds, you know.
That's amazing. That's a quality that many, many would like to kind of adopt. It's a nice core quality to have, to remain calm under pressure. I'm not sure I have that. I have like you know what I get sometimes is like a nervous excitement when I'm under pressure, a buzzy, weird, but I'm like feeling sick at the same time, but I really like it.
It's full on adrenaline rush. Are you a secret adrenaline junkie?
Yeah. So yeah, what's it like watching yourself on TV? Because I can't watch I'll watch anything recorded that I do for about 2 seconds, and I'm like, So what's it like watching yourself, on TV many different times?
I found it quite fun, not in a really weird kind of ego way, but because it allows me to have like an out-of-body moment. I can't even describe it well. It's strange seeing something you have a memory of happen before you.
Yeah.
And kind of go, oh, I remember that. Oh, I forgot about that. Or actually, I can do this, you know, or it's kind of like a reaffirmation of, wow, look what I've accomplished, you know. But all in all, generally speaking, it's just fun, you know, it's just a bit of fun. And kind of to see myself on TV like that is weird, but fun, definitely.
Yeah, it's just an amazing experience, like one that you'll never forget.
Never forget it, no.
A big, a big experience. Like it is, it's huge. And then I guess the other thing is you also have a podcast. So talk me through that. I've seen you've said it's relatively new. What's your idea behind it? And tell me a little more about that.
So, following on from the red thread of loving fashion. It's with me and my co-host John, who's incredible. He is so articulate when he talks about fashion. He's so passionate, and we really bounce off each other. But we come from fashions from a very different direction. So he's coming from more, I would say, high-end fashion angle, whereas I'm coming from a more domestic isn't really the right word, but it's more of a kind of a feeling way or an exploration angle of fashion. So we have not even opposing views. We just have really, we can integrate our views really well because we kind of complete the puzzle, if you like. It came about after John and I just kind of going to a exhibition in Design Museum, and I just kind of thought, actually, no, this would you ever want to do a podcast? Like, do you ever think? And it just kind of like popped in there, and it was, maybe we should. And we would umming and ahhing about it for a good while last year, and then it got to, I think, March of this year. I was like, let's just do it. Let's just go. You know, let's just bite the bullet. If we don't like it, we don't have to post it, or we don't have to carry on. You know. But episode to episode, it's just got better and better, and we've enjoyed it more and more, and we've started having guests on now. So it's something I think I'm going to enjoy for a while.
Yeah, it's fun, and I think, like, I've got you here today, and my experience has been, a lot of things. One is, like I mentioned to you just before we started recording, was the generosity of people. Yeah. And people are just willing to help each other out. It's like, look, I'm new at this. I like what you're about. There's something that draws me to people. And my whole thing is anybody that's kind of, you know, invents themselves. And like you've just spoke, like there's been so much to you so far. And you still only, like, it feels like you're still only starting. You're ready to give anything a go. I've got my own brand. I've got my podcast. I've been on TV. I love to interiors. Like, it's amazing.
It gives
you that level of enthusiasm, whichever side of the table you're on, whether you're the person asking the questions or giving the answers. You know, I think it's a great way of really getting to know people and letting, you know, that kind of reinvention. And like I said before, I think there's a lot of kind of pressure on everyone. You know, you must decide what you want. You must stick to a thing. And screw that. Like,
it's the best from
keeping moving forward, don't they? And, you know, you're an amazing advocate for that. Like, for the amount of things that you've tried already and keep, you know, kind of, you know, push it through.
I really appreciate you saying that, because that's exactly kind of my viewpoint, is that, which is what you kind of said before about, you know, we're all onions. We all have different layers. We all have different facets to our personalities and things that we love. There's no one solution answer as to what we should be doing in life. There's no formula that we should be following in life. And the journey I've been on, just creatively, professionally, personally, it's all over the show, you know, because when you are open to new experiences, that's where you find the joy in life, and you really do find what you love to do the most and what feeds your soul. So doing a podcast now is giving me so much joy, especially with my co-host John, who's just a really good guy, you know. So it's nice to do it with someone who's also as enthusiastic as you. And like you said, like, you're speaking to people, and it kind of reinvigorates yourself. As creatives, we're social, right? We love to kind of integrate, collaborate. I think the minute you start imposing boundaries and blocks on you is when you stop growing as a creative.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice way of putting it. It's the growth, because anybody that believes I know it all, I've been there and I've done that, is limiting yourself, and it's closing doors that shouldn't be closed. Exactly. There's so much more. Like, we continue to evolve. Nothing stops. The world doesn't stop. So
exactly.
We shouldn't stop. You know, there's a lot out there.
Yes. And didn't Paul Smith start his brand at 42?
Yeah, like when you really, you're led to believe that everybody has their shit sorted really early in life.
Sure.
And it's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's all a goddamn lie. And then these people that you later, I think maybe it's some sense of, I can only speak for myself, but some sense of insecurities when you're younger too. Mm. And then the older you get, you kind of look back and go, I was just as good as X, Y, and Z, or I was just as relevant, or whatever it may be in whatever context. And then you read these stats like, you know, X person opened their own business at 42 and the average person does this, at blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it is in your late 30s, 40s, 50s. And, you know, again, there's those pressures of ageism and you should do this by this and you should have this sorted by then. And it's just, I love speaking to people that think outside the box and that everything is literally a tick box. Yeah. And you frowned upon those things if you've not achieved a certain thing by a certain date.
Well, or whatever. Look at these people who have done the tick box thing. People have followed that. Most time, well, in my experience, if you've ever spoken to someone who's done the formula in life, and I say, okay, that's great, but are you happy? 9 times, 8 times out of 10, the answer is no, I'm not fully fulfilled.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to feed your soul, that's why.
Yeah, completely. I think it's such an important message. Yeah. So talking about feeding your soul, what's next? What
excellent
have you got
segue. Up your sleeve? Excellent segue. That was beautiful. Love that. Gosh, what's next? Oh, there's just so much that I plan on doing next. Keep going with my brand, obviously. I've got some great kind of collections that I want to be launching soon. I'm going to be launching a website as well, so keep your eyes open for that.
Nice.
I want to continue with the vein of upcycling, sustainability, because that's kind of where it has to go. So I'm going to, most of my collections will have that thread.
Yeah.
Podcasting is still going to go strong. I actually am in the process of applying for a PhD for next year. Obviously, it's a very long process to apply for a PhD. I've already had my first kind of interview and stuff, so it's, the ball is officially rolling, which is terrifying. But the PhD is going to be in, what I intend to do, I should say, with my PhD, is to work with fashion, but with smart textiles or some form of adaptable fashion that helps people. So, for example, someone who's maybe autistic and nonverbal, the clothes can do the talking for them.
Wow, that is really, really, really nice. Yeah.
So that's the next big thing on the horizon. Whilst I'm podcasting and branding and...
And all the rest, all the other plates that you're spinning.
I just really like being busy.
Yeah, but if that works for you, that's it. But everything has such a strong meaning. Like you're doing a PhD that not... only will fulfill you, but it has a goddamn good reason behind it. Like adaptable fashion is something that isn't represented enough by any means. I did a very small project in my last business when I worked in Berlin, and we were just touching on it then, and how neglected it has been is unreal. However, there are people like yourself and, you know, other companies that are starting to do so much more. And it's a minefield. And I think a lot of people touch it because they feel scared and intimidated by it.
If you don't have the fear of failure, you'll find growth.
Yeah.
So I think the PhD will be tough. I'm under no illusions because it's it's a 5-year course. So it's going to be an up and down thing. But the red thread of everything I do, as I mentioned, has some level of emotion in it. So the fashion I do at the moment is to have a positive effect on someone's emotional well-being. The next stage is to have a positive effect on someone's mental and physical well-being. So, you know,
so important.
Not even just mental health. It's someone's, I don't know, prone to epilepsy. There are sensors out there that can detect the change in your neurochemistry before you do and send out messages to the relevant people. The clothes themselves can adapt. You could have something that would then put a visor over your face or increase like padding around your neck. all of these kind of things that can be put into place. So it's hugely important to me that fashion has a positive effect on the world, because it has such a negative one at the moment.
It does, for sure it does. And it's getting, yeah, completely whipped at the moment. And that is obviously negativity usually gets a bigger magnifying glass over it rather than the good things that are happening. There is a lot of good things that are happening and more to come as well. And I think what you're heading towards is amazing. I love that. Like I said, I had a small involvement just before I left my last job, and it was amazing. There's so many intricacies, but every time you develop something, it's such a good feedback factor. I should say. And you know, like, we did many research groups with children with like amputated limbs or ADHD, so maybe Velcro fastenings would, you know, really irritate children and adults, but we did a lot for children, and then it was incredibly interesting. I found it
is interesting. One of the guys actually on the show, Ryan, he's very passionate about having clothes have adaptability and accessibility for people who have some form of disability. And he's next level talented when it comes to that level of thing. And I just think people like Ryan, people who I spoke to when I was doing my PhD interview, they really are going to change the world in terms of how people can relate to it. Because right now, not everyone feels they can, because what they wear says a lot about them, right? So if you can have a small impact on people, you really do change the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it. And that's the right attitude to have. I think some people are like, oh, I don't get it. And my input will make very little difference, so I'll just walk away. And like you've just said, every little difference does help and does have an impact. So anybody that is listening, make sure that if there is something you're interested in, and, you know, basically scratch that itch, because
definitely,
it's worth doing. You'll always learn something about yourself. And if that forward learning can have an impact on somebody else, then
all the better.
What's better than that? You know, exactly. That's an amazing feeling to have.
My sister and I have this thing that we say, which is never have a what if.
Yeah, it's a nice takeaway for sure. I think if more and more people could, foster that ideal, then we would all be in a much better place. So if there's just a couple of people that we can convince to not have,
absolutely, we'll do it together.
There we go. It sounds like a very good pack to have.
Absolutely. Collaboration.
Completely. It's been amazing talking to you. I am truly grateful for you agreeing to do this with me. I've learned a lot about you, which is interesting. You are very interesting. I'll be watching everything that you're doing in a non-creepy way.
Should I get security?
No more Claire sliding into your DMs. You'll be like, who is this?
No, it's all good. It's been an absolute pleasure. Genuinely, it's been a joy.
I am genuinely loving what you're doing and what you're going to do as well. Like, there's no stopping you, and everything, has a meaning. So love that. Good luck with everything. For anybody listening and that wants to, a bit like me, follow what you're doing, and I will link all of your socials, and we're very much looking forward to your website, as you mentioned, which is coming soon. So I'll link you on my socials, and definitely good luck with everything. And
thank you very much.
Once again, thank you so much.
No, pleasure's all mine. Thank you.